Take your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Let's pray. Father, thank you that one day you allow us to see you as you are in all of your glory, in all of your holiness, in all of your righteousness and purity, and Lord, in all of your grace and love towards us. Father, we thank you that not only have you given us your word, but you've given us your spirit to draw us unto yourself, to call us while we were yet sinners. And Father, we thank you that we can study your word and the promises that we have, that we can know for sure we will be with you one day. Bless us as we open your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we had a question this week. Chrissy came to me on Sunday, and she said she didn't know how to write it down, so she just asked me in person. I guess a week or so ago, they saw somebody standing on the side of the road holding a sign saying, "God is coming." And we always say, "Jesus is coming." So the question being, to say God is coming, is that proper? Is that the right thing to say? So let's look at that this evening. Is it right to say that God is coming? I mean, we all understand from the Bible that Jesus is coming again. We understand that Jesus is part of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We just don't normally hear somebody say, "God is coming." So, it's not wrong to say that God is coming. But it does beg the question, why do we only ever say, "Jesus is coming"? So let's kind of look at the whole idea this evening, if we can, in a short amount of time. First of all, the Bible does, in several places, describe that God is coming. You can't escape that when we have a triune God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're all one. They are one and the same, though different in different in office, different in the way they interact with, or the way God interacts with mankind. So let's open with Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. First of all, we need to understand that God himself is the judge. And when Jesus comes again, when the rapture and then the second coming after the tribulation, when all that takes place, what is the idea behind it? But to judge the world, to judge the sin of mankind, to do away with sin. So we need to look, first of all, who is the judge? The Bible primarily says that God is the judge. In Hebrews 9:27, we note, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we're looking at Christ will appear the second time, and whether a man dies physically or whether the second coming happens before death, either way, it's appointed to every human being to face the judgment of God, isn't it? It doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how conniving you are, no human being can escape the judgment of God. We will all stand before him one day. And Christ, we understand, he is the what for us before the throne? Somebody tell me. Interceder. The mediator. That is what the Messiah means. He's the one to come and to be a Savior and a mediator for us, for our sin, before God the Father, the Judge. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." The dead, small and great, are standing before God to be judged. All the books are opened. Excuse me. All of life is given account. We stand before an almighty God. We stand before the fullness of God. It is interesting to me. The Bible in many places talks about the Lord being the judge, or Jehovah, which Jehovah directly is usually God the Father. When you have Jehovah with some of the additions on the names, then you find God the Son. But usually when you just see Jehovah by itself, not always, but frequently it's referring to God the Father. We find other places where it says that Christ is the judge, and He is the judge in the sense that He's the one who paid for our sins. And so for when we stand, when a person stands before Him not having received the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is He that will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. It was my blood that was not applied." Excuse me. The Holy Spirit is also mentioned as a judge, and He's the one who convicts the heart. But here in Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." I believe this is talking about the fullness of God. This is one of the places where we really can't comprehend until we see Him face to face. Because we do picture, while we acknowledge a triune God, we also picture Him as three. In acting the different offices that, or the different ways He interacts with men. But I believe here the word God is used in the sense that it is the fullness of God. When all the dead, small and great, stand before Him, there's no wiggle room. They see the righteousness and holiness of God. They see the overarching power of God. They see the perfection of the gift of His Son. And they see the Holy Spirit whom they denied. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Notice it says God and the Lord Jesus Christ equally. Speaking of the judgment seat of God, is the fullness of God, or is a place where mankind meets the fullness of God. So God is the judge, and as we saw in Hebrews and also here in 2 Timothy, that judgment is put at the same point in time as the second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, it is not wrong to say God is coming, because He is. We cannot escape the fact that the day when we stand before God is coming. It's closer than it was this morning. It's closer than it was last week. It is far closer than the time when most of us were born. Every day, every breath we take, we are closer to Him coming again. That should be exciting. That should be thrilling. That should be occupying our minds during the day. That should be occupying or influencing our decisions. That should be changing the way we consider what we do and how we act. Because He is coming again, but also because He will judge our works. And are we living righteously before Him? Secondly, we need to note the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ, we've seen that already in these passages. But if you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Let me pause here for a moment. Thinking of God, who is the Counselor? The Holy Spirit. Very good. The Holy Spirit is the Counselor in other parts of the Bible. The Mighty God, the fullness of God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. That's Jesus, isn't it? But it says here very specifically, His name shall be called Wonderful. Now that's the Messiah, that's Jesus. Counselor, that's specifically the Holy Spirit. The Mighty God, that's the fullness of God. The Everlasting Father, right, that's very plain. The Prince of Peace, again, that is Jesus, the one who offered peace to us through His shed blood. Isaiah 9:6 is actually one of the clearest descriptions of the Trinity in the entire Bible. This is long before Jesus was born, and God told Isaiah, tell the people, the fullness of God is going to come in the form of a man. And this is who He will be. There's no doubt the deity of Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Can anybody quote it for me? Colossians 2:9, can anybody quote that? For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when Jesus Christ breaks through the clouds with the trumpet sound and with all of His angels, who's coming? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is who He is. God shared with mankind. Mark chapter 13 and verse 26. See a prophecy of Him coming. Mark 13 and verse 26, Jesus describing His own coming, I should say. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You see the connection? Jesus said He would come back with great power and glory. And the disciples and the followers and the Pharisees and Sadducees and those gathered around, they maybe didn't understand it at the time. But when Christ rose bodily from the dead and proved that He fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and when He showed Himself to all those people, and then when He bodily ascended to heaven, never to die again, the disciples finally understood. And they said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that might have been when this, what Christ said a little while earlier, actually clicked. He went up in the clouds, and He will come again in all of His power and glory. Then, let's look at some verses that are specific to the appearing, and let's take a moment and just consider why we say Jesus is coming again. Why don't, you know, looking at these passages that we just have, that God is the judge, and that Jesus is coming in all the power and the glory of the fullness of the Godhead, why don't we say God is coming again? Why do we always say Jesus? Well, let's go back to 1 John 3, verse 2, where we started. Let's look at that again and look at a few other verses. So limber up your thumbs. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible in other places also says that when we see Him as He is, it talks about seeing Jesus with His nail-scarred hands. And not just, you know, quoting a song there. The Bible tells us that it's not just scars, but that the wounds are there. You know, that's an amazing thought to me. He has kept those wounds that He shed for me. Excuse me. It says, we shall see Him as He is. We will see the fullness of His power. We will see the fullness of His glory. We will see in Him the completion of our salvation. Also, it says that we shall be like Him, and the Bible tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son, which is Jesus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, we see that it's the appearing of God, but specifically it says of Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe this is one of the strongest reasons right here why we say Jesus is coming again. Because the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the grand finale of salvation. Isn't it? You know, we're saved looking forward to that blessed hope. We're saved knowing that our redemption is complete and that the redeeming work of God towards mankind will be completed on that day. After that point, very few will have an opportunity to acknowledge God as the Savior of their sins. The dynamics will change. But one dynamic will never change through all eternity. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue, even the tongues that are burning in hell for all eternity, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Here we have in the New Testament a reference to Old Testament prophecy. Again, there's another passage I did. Maybe I did write it down. Isaiah 45, verse 23. I have that tacked on beside with no notes. So let's turn back there real quick. Isaiah 45. And verse 23. Yes, this is where it's quoting. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. So again and again through Scripture, we're told man will not be able to deny that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Lord. He is the Savior of our sins. He is the one whom God chose to make the only propitiation, the only path for sinners to come before a holy God. We cannot deny that. As we look through the Gospels, we're not going to take the time to go through all the references, but we just did look at Mark 13, verse 26. Jesus again and again says that He is the one coming again. Now, let's bring those all together into perspective with 1 John chapter 4. And verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So again, as we started, it's not wrong to say God is coming again, or God is coming, because He is. He is coming because of the work of Jesus Christ. And as we see, Jesus Christ Himself said, I am coming again with power and great glory. But, as a little cautionary tale here, a side note, something to put in your discernment file, if you will. There's those out there, and I have no idea about the guy holding the sign on the side of the street. If you Google God is coming, there's many people with the best of intentions that they're talking about Jesus coming again. But you need to be careful on one note. There is a few false teachers out there that say God is coming, but deny Jesus Christ. And as we look at 1 John chapter 4, if they deny Jesus Christ, they're not talking about they're not talking about the second coming described in the Bible. They're not talking about the completion of this age of grace. There's a few other things that they might be talking about, maybe a dominionist idea, but usually along the lines of some kind of dominion idea, that God is coming and He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth and He's just going to fix everything right here and it's all going to be perfect. If you read your Bible, that idea that they're getting is only going to happen for a limited amount of time. Somebody, one of you kids, how long is God's kingdom on this earth going to last? Who can tell me? We have a 7-year tribulation, and then God comes and sets up a temporary kingdom while the... Yes? 1,000 years. Exactly. Very good. And after the 1,000 years, what happens? A There's a pit that is opened up and something happens. Satan is released for one more joyride. One more fate against God. And then you have him turn many people who I fail to understand why after 1,000 years under God they will turn against him. But they'll follow the devil and make war with God. And God will say, that's it. And this earth as we know it, all of its beauty, all of its intrigue, all of its fun, all of its everything will be burnt up in a fervent heat. That's what the Bible says. So that's the only thing to be careful about. It's not wrong to say God is coming. He is coming. Don't ever doubt that. There is a day when we face Him. But do be careful for your own selves. If you hear a Bible teacher of any sort that will not acknowledge Jesus Christ, then they're not talking about the coming of God spoken of in the Scripture. Jesus is coming again because He paid for my sin. And there's a day where He's going to complete that work. He's not just... Today, you know, if I die, I have 100% assurance of heaven. I am saved. Excuse me. But I still have to struggle with sin, don't I? But when He comes and hands me that the completion of what He has begun in me, the Bible says that good work which He has begun in me, He's made me His child. And someday He's going to come and He's going to hand me a new body that is perfect and entire and has absolutely no thought of sin. What a day that will be. And my Jesus is coming to give me that. Because He has all the power and glory and fullness of the Godhead. It is in His hands to do that. But the Bible also tells us that God, righteous and holy, because He is so holy and so pure, we were at enmity with Him. We were enemies with Him. We could not come to God without the work of Jesus Christ. And because of that work, because of Him, that's why we tend to say, Jesus is coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Your Son. Jesus, thank You that You are coming again. Coming to reclaim us from this vile world, coming to perfect us into the completed image that You intended us to be, that You first created mankind to be. Thank You, Lord, for loving us while we were yet sinners, dying for us, and calling us and setting us apart unto Yourself. Help us to see the glory of this, the joy of this, and to live looking forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.